And experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thank you so much for joining us in the show that celebrates creating in stories. We are going to tune our imaginations together today and talk about stories. I thought about this question this week. How many stories are there in the world? And I would suggest that there are an infinite number of stories. Some may claim that there are only a few story archetypes, think like Rags to Riches or The Journey and Coming Home, or maybe Beating the Monster, Boy Gets Girl, Girl Gets Boy. But within each of these story types, there can be changes to the characters, the setting, the order of story events, the style or the language, and each retelling changes something. Think about someone you know who is a good storyteller. They may have a story that everyone loves to hear and that they love to tell, but it's likely that at each retelling, there is something that is slightly different. Perhaps the storyteller has shifted the story because of the new audience, or maybe they forgot a detail, or perhaps they ramp up the funny parts, or they alter a detail of one character to draw attention to another aspect of the story. We can retell stories, but they're always informed by the present, our experiences, our vision of the future, our mood, or even our memory. Stories are endlessly fascinating. And when I was wondering about this idea, I typed into the Google machine something about stories. And the question that popped up on my Google search kind of drew me in. It's, will we ever run out of stories? And here are a couple of the answers that came up. Mark, who is a former scientist, is how he identifies, on Quora said, depends on how long humans last. While there's infinite information in the universe, we don't need to know it all to understand it all. Eventually, our models will be good enough to predict anything we don't know. I thought, well, that's an interesting perspective, not one I had thought of. And then I guess Quora has an AI bot called Sage, and that AI bot wrote, no, we will never run out of stories. There are an infinite number of ways to interpret and understand the world around us, and new experiences and perspectives are constantly arising. Additionally, many stories are passed down through generations and can be reinterpreted or reimagined in new ways. Even if we exhaust all of the current stories, there will always be more to come. I kind of like that hopeful one, I guess. It was an interesting, but I didn't want to like what the AI bot said, but I kind of did. So that was another struggle I had. So I'm going to be talking about stories because there's a lot to discover in the world. And I think what we need is someone willing to tell a story. That's what is we should value, is people who love to share stories and tell stories and write stories and act stories and be immersed in stories. So today we're going to revisit a familiar story and find out how this play twists the tale. So joining me today in the Art Zany Radio studio, I'm welcoming director Noah Schomburg. Welcome to Art Zany Radio.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Paula. It's an honor to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. It's your first visit here. Well, except for the time that I forgot.
No worries. It is my first visit here in forever.
As Arcadia's
that is true.
Art
true.
And arts coordinator. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having
us. Also joined by some of the students from the Somewhat True Tale of Robin Hood. We have Isaac Udelhofen.
Hello.
Hello. And oh, I forgot the N in my notes. It has an N, right? The end. Yes. Welcome again.
Thank you.
And Jack Wolf, welcome.
Hello.
And we also have Willow Joe.
Hello.
Perfect. It's so exciting to have you all here. This is the somewhat true tale of Robin Hood, which opens up next week, Thursday, the 4th of May, and Friday. It runs for 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, May 4th, 5th, and 6th. That's at 7:30. That's out at Arcadia Charter School, 1719 Cannon Road. I don't know, Bob's not here, so he's not going to prompt you. Do you know what I'm talking about? Behind the Perkins is what he always said.
Yep.
That was kind of our tagline. Yep.
We should keep that. It's helpful.
Say that again.
The warehouse-looking building.
Yes, exactly. Yep. But it's really easy to find if you don't know the school. It's amazing, and it's a great place. I didn't find information. Do you know about tickets? Are they available at the door?
Yes, those will be available for purchase at the door. We don't have anywhere online for them, but we do have prices if you're interested in
hearing
those.
Sure, let's go. Just all right. Get that out of the way.
Awesome,
so we can
awesome.
Have fun.
So student admission will be $3, adult admission will be $7, and senior admission will be $5, and that will be just at the door.
Perfect. So that's so this is a production for families, I would assume?
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect. So now that we got all the details out, let's talk about the fun stuff. I want each of you to sort of introduce yourselves, maybe your theater experiences. Tell us a little bit about your world so people can get to know who you are and a little bit of your connections to Arcadia. So we'll start with you, Noah.
All right. Well, thank you. My name is Noah Schomburg. I am the visual and performing arts teacher at Arcadia Charter School, and it is my first year teaching and my first year directing. So it's been an incredibly exciting experience. It's been wonderful to work with such a talented group of people, and I am very excited to share everything that we can about this show with you guys. But I'll pass it on to Isaac.
Sure, that's great. Tell us a little bit about yourself so people can get to know you.
Yeah, hi. I'm Isaac. I've been on, I was trying to count, this is my fourth time on?
You'll know, because you've done a lot of shows over the years.
Yeah. I've done shows at the Guild and Arcadia, I'm trying out a new role in this production. I'm kind of doing the sound design, aspect, which has been fun.
And are you a senior this year?
I am a senior this year.
Do you know your plans for next year?
Yeah, I will be attending Columbia College Chicago.
Ooh, exciting!
For some theater design, technology sort of stuff.
Bravo!
Yeah,
that's
you.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
And I'm thrilled to have you back. Thank you for being here. Can't wait to find out more about that sound, because that's a really fascinating piece of any production. Sometimes folks don't realize without it, you can't really do a show.
No. Yeah.
like we've talked about before, both the crew and the cast are, you know, equally pertinent to the production. So
especially this one requires a lot of goofy sound effects. So
and it probably keeps you on your toes.
We need someone on top of their game.
Yeah. And next we have Jack. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm Jack Wolf. I'm a sophomore. I've been involved in theater since I was very young at mostly the Guild and also Arcadia. I don't know. I really love theater, and I don't really know what else to say.
Sure. And you said you're a sophomore, and you've done a lot of productions in the past, both, if I recall, technical and on stage.
I've done mostly on stage, but I did do a couple of technical roles.
Mm-hmm. So it's great to have all this experience and to have you here. Thank you for being here. And Willow Jo is also joining us.
Yeah. I'm a junior at Arcadia. I have mainly done, most of my performances have been in, actually all the performances where I've been on stage have been school productions. But I have also been a technician for Purple Door a couple of times. For this show, I am an onstage actor.
That's exciting. Is that a first?
No.
No.
It's not.
Okay.
No. It's, but it's, I only do my acting, during school performances.
You never know. I've had a lot of people on the show who come back to theater because, you know, after years, because they miss that connection. And there's some great community theaters. And so there's always opportunities. And that's one thing, Noah, you are really, this is your first directing experience, but you are blessed with a talented crew who has many experiences. And so how did the show get picked?
Well, I walked into Arcadia. They said, this is your desk. Here are all the scripts that you have to choose from. I looked through all of them. I went, ooh, these aren't funny enough. And then I found The Somewhat True Tale of Robin Hood. I went, this one's funny. So I picked it out, and that was the story of how it was chosen. And then once I started reading through it, I was like, oh, I started having, you know, actors and students pop into my head for some of these parts. And I just, the more I read the script, the more I fell in love with it. And it is goofy, and it's accessible. It is a family-friendly performance, by all means, but it does have sort of a Monty Python Mel Brooks-ish quality to it that will make it extremely enjoyable for older audiences as well, which probably sounds like blowing smoke, but it's it's really a wonderful performance, and it's great that it manages to be able to incorporate both of those styles of comedy.
Right. And for you, one thing I was excited to learn is that Bob Gregory Bjorklund has stayed on as an arts mentor.
Yes.
And so he's often been a part of the show. So hi, Bob, if you're listening. We all.
Hello, Bob.
So that's been probably a great experience, because his theater background is, extensive. And so what are some of the things that he told you about going into this?
Well, I mean, he's been like one of my mentors and personal heroes since I was like 6 years old. I remember taking theater classes with him, and it was an amazing experience. So the opportunity to get to work with him in a professional capacity is, it's amazing. And I could not ask for a better mentor. So it's been a really wonderful experience. Because the more that we talk, I'm like, oh, we have similarities in management styles, and he's just been extremely helpful. And, you can tell how much he cares about his students. And I think that, more than anything, is something that I'd like to try to emulate, because he was really great at that.
That is absolutely true. And this, however, is the somewhat true tale of Robin Hood. And so I want to ask, how much did you know about Robin Hood prior to coming in to the show? And what were you thinking? And then when you heard the title that it was a somewhat true, where'd your mind go? Let's start with Isaac.
I think my first time seeing Robin Hood was probably the Disney, where they're all animals and Robin Hood's a fox.
Yeah.
I think I like binge watched that like a ton of times when I was little. just because like the music and the animation style and just how colorful and fun everything is really appealing. And then I think the most recent addition to my Robin Hood knowledge would be Robin Hood Men in Tights, the Mel Brooks movie, which is a classic and is some really funny stuff. But then, yeah, it's just kind of been like the classic Robin Hood story, with the Mel Brooks twist. And yeah,
that's an amazing. And I think, was it you, Willow Jo, when we were talking ahead of time, this was not a familiar story to you.
Yeah. I've understood the idea of Robin Hood. I feel like a lot of people get the, steal from the rich, give to the poor thing.
Right, that's usually the first line that everyone
knows. but other than that, I don't really know too much of the actual story. I can kind of pick up from our show is not a really good source for it, but I can pick up from the script what might be actually from the story, and I've kind of put it together, and somewhat at least. Somewhat.
The bowling is not part of the original story.
I figured. Let's see that now. In the description, and I thought, oh, they bowl.
Yeah, there's bowling.
Which is in the forest.
Which we need our wonderful sound designer for. We need a lot of sound effects of bowling pins being knocked down. So
Jack, has this changed anything you feel about Robin Hood?
I've never seen Robin Hood, but I acted in it as like my first big play. And so I don't really remember the main story. But yeah, this is definitely a twist. like you have your very classic story, but there is also your like just super inflated like funny parts that are like already in there. Like Robin Hood is a hard story to take completely seriously, and this just completely inflates all of the, like, Robin has a giant ego in all that stuff.
It's hyper. Everything is accentuated and exaggerated, which a lot of good comedy comes from. And this one definitely sounds like it's going to be a funny show.
Yeah. Well, when you're talking about, exaggerating stories and retelling them in new ways, it's necessary because a lot of people are familiar with the original tale of Robin Hood. So, you have to tell it in a new way that hasn't been done yet. So they have a very fun way of doing that. And one of those ways is inflating all the characters to this ridiculous degree.
Yeah.
But they still have the heart of what it's about. There's some moments where they take a moment to breathe or have a beat of, you know, genuine interaction. And that's really nice too.
Yeah. And that's one thing I wanted to explore with all of you is, you know, we know, like you said, steal from the rich to give to the poor is kind of the tagline, if you would, of a story that everybody knows. And, you know, it follows if the noble thief, as he woos the beautiful maid Marian, of course, is another part of the story, and thwarts the evil sheriff of Nottingham. How do you tell a new version? And I'm so curious about what are the things that have to stay in order for you to be able to call it Robin Hood and to sort of, you know, I think you hit on something really essential, the heart, right, of the story. And so I'd just love to hear your thoughts on that idea. How do you make it anew but keep it so that it still can hold its classic elements?
As long as he has red, as long as he has green tights, the same story.
So a character in green tights instantly. That really could be true because there's not another character that I can think of.
True.
There may be some out there, but
Peter Pan.
That's a really good point.
True. What did you say?
Peter Pan.
Oh yeah. Oh, but he's definitely not Robin Hood.
He's definitely not Robin Hood. He's got his own little thing going for him.
What's interesting about this telling of the story is the kind of the idea of ego and how the classic Robin Hood story is like he robs the rich, gives to the poor, he's this kind and selfless individual that does all this for the community.
He's altruistic and it's all about.
And in this story he is a really awful person. it's all very self-centered and it's about him, but throughout the story, he becomes aware of how having help from friends and working with others kind of changes his mindset.
I would love to hear you guys weigh in on this. I feel like that really strengthens the story because initially, if he's just this benevolent, you know, kind-hearted force for good the entire time, there's no character growth. There's no, actual arc. And here, he has a nice parallel with Prince John because he's very vain, too. So they have this interesting chemistry. But then Robin actually has to have that moment of growth, which, and again, this is just to me, but that's a little more compelling than just having them be this altruistic figure that doesn't change or, you know, evolve the entire time.
And some of that comes probably from the myth of Robin Hood, right? That's what got carried on was the idea of what we're going to disperse our resources in a more equitable way. And this is the way we're going to do it. And, you know, nobody ever focuses on the stealing.
Yep.
Like maybe that, you know, it's a good idea, but maybe the methodology is not something to. So I just find this idea of wondering, you know, I'll ask about Sherwood Forest, which to me feels I guess you could set it someplace else, but then there's something about that that feels essential to me. But maybe that's just because that's the way I've heard the story. I don't know. Yeah. Any thoughts, Jack?
I think the whole idea of Sherwood Forest is a very familiar name, and so it helps you draw you into the story, even if you're not sure. Like, are you watching a play and you don't know if it's Robin Hood? Is Sherwood Forest there?
True, right.
Setting is a part that people don't really think about, but it's so very important. And Sherwood Forest is such a recognizable name in literature and plays that people think, oh, Sherwood Forest, Robin Hood and his merry men, and all that stuff. Yeah.
So there's an instantly gives you. So you need some of those elements to sort of flag, hey, this is where we're going. And then, you know, in the characters too, who do you think is essential or who is in your play and who isn't, maybe is another way we could look at it that you would recognize or not recognize.
You got Prince John, who is the king's younger brother that when the king goes away, he comes to play. and you have the Sheriff of Nottingham.
So he's in there.
Yep. And you got Lady Marian, the classic love interest, who in our show is a very fun interpretation of Lady Marian.
I'm very curious. Yeah. I would imagine that given the tone that I'm understanding that this may be surprising.
anyone have any fun thoughts on... If you saw
the complete works of William Shakespeare last year, and if you enjoyed the performance of Ophelia,
okay, I'm racking my brain. Okay,
lots of screaming. There was a water.
Yes, yep.
Connor Bourne reprises his role as the woman.
I was so close. I was looking for a little bluebird to give him to rest on his finger for all of his scenes.
Oh, that would have been good.
I know. We have a rose, though, so don't worry.
Okay, there'll be another cue to us in the audience.
Exactly.
He has a beautiful dress.
He does.
It really is.
And a petticoat. We don't. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen one of those in a long time, right?
And I got a wig and a headband at Party City. So a lot of this show was funded by... It was purchased at Party City and the dollar store.
Sure.
And Menards. They're really convenient resources for putting on a show.
Well, and that's what you do, right? You get to put it. So let's talk about your version and tell us about your role in this production. Again, folks, if you're tuning in, this is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. I'm Paula Granquist here with folks from the somewhat true tale of Robin Hood. We have director Noah Schomburg and participants in the production. I'm going to learn in a minute what their roles are. Isaac Udelhofen, Willow Joe, and Jack Wolf. So tell us, who wants to jump in and share with how are you a part of this production?
Well, I have the role of Little John, which, you know, as I've said before, I'm not really familiar with the story of Robin Hood, but I feel Little John is a pretty strong character in that. And there's some a little bit of, like, the Merry Men are kind of as a group together, and so Little John is just kind of one of them. But yeah, I get to be Little John.
And you mentioned that's the king's...
No. So there's Prince John.
There are two Johns.
And then there's Little
show.
John.
Yeah. John's a very popular name.
It's a wild ride.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
I mean, it's medieval England. Everyone's got to be named John.
True. So you are part of a band of merry men. So that's a part of your show as well.
Yes.
And
there are two other merry men besides Little John. And we also have Friar Tuck.
Now, what I read in the description was that there are merry men... This is the quote from the description I got, merry men whose collective IQ equals 6.
Oh, we did the math on that. There's some fun inconsistency here. What is it? Because we said that Little John's IQ is 6 in his character description, right?
Right,
and then on the back it says that their
collective
IQ is 6, which means that John is the only one with an IQ and it is 6. Yeah. And I thought that was fun.
And so, it's hard to imagine how you could get that. That seems like a really low number.
Really low
if
number.
Your IQ is 6, you'd be the smartest one in the group because you're the only one with an IQ. So.
Yes.
Okay. Good test taker.
Indeed.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And so that's got to be a fun role to play.
Yeah, it's a really fun group. We have to be friends in order to make the dynamic kind of work, because it's a lot of goofing around with each other. We make fun of each other a lot, and we have, like, we're our own separate, like, thing.
Yeah. And that part's hard to teach, right? Yeah. Like, you are genuinely friends with the people in the group of merry men, so that kind of shines through, and I think that's really fun to watch, because when you're talking about the heart of the show, you need to be rooting for the merry men. You need to know that they're friends and that they're having fun together, otherwise, you know, you're not invested. So it has been really great watching them, you know, build that bond and then perform it.
Well, that is interesting, because it brings up a question about directing then, that you've got to get that chemistry to, you know, that exist within the people who are playing the characters, and then have it come through, because that's, like you said, that's when the audience buys into your story, is if they feel that connection or that they have somebody to root for. And so how have you been doing that? Like, all the characters have to have some element of that.
Yeah. Well, weirdly, that was like the easiest part for me. There have definitely been challenges putting on this show, but that came pretty naturally because of, you know, the things we talked about earlier with just the cast being so talented. It helped to it helped to know them a little bit. Like, just, you know, icebreakers, getting to know people around the school, having experience with them in the past, things like that. But once I had kind of gotten an idea of what their comedic styles were, it was a whole lot easier to find places where I felt like their abilities would be able to shine. So it's been fun watching that develop.
Mm-hmm. And let's hear about your role, Jack.
I'm playing two roles. One of Rich Man, who's some guy with a lot of money who Robin takes. I have one of those bags that like looks like you just robbed a bank with the money sign on it, and it's my favorite prop ever.
I got it at Halloween Express, like 3 months before we did auditions.
Oh, that's it.
And I'm also playing the lady-in-waiting who's the assistant to Maid Marian, who is terribly overdramatic about everything and screams a lot.
I love that. What it reminded me of is how important, especially when you're doing a comedy and you've got a large cast, that you need the audience to go instantly recognize, oh, that's the rich character, right? And yeah. So you've got the big dollar sign on the bag.
Yeah.
And so that's a fun part of the show too, doing those props.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been like doing a Looney Tunes episode in terms of in terms of props specifically. It's the things that we've had to make are ridiculous, but
we have a giant mallet.
Yep.
A giant
but
mallet.
In a way it's freeing. Like, that was part of the thing when I was reading the script. I was like, "Oh my gosh, it is so rare to get the chance to do something like this creatively where you look at the Sheriff of Nottingham, you're like, oh, they're wearing, like, an eye patch and, like, black spiky boots. And, like, it's just, you're like, oh, of course. Like, it's so on the nose that it's been really fun to orchestrate that. Because there are times when they deviate from the classic, like, Robin Hood, you know, like, story. But when they do, I find that it's much funnier because they've established it. Like, they're like, oh, it's very, like, you know who's who. You know what their motivations and their aspirations are. So when they take a moment to break from it or do something new or funny, that's hits a little harder.
And maybe that's why we keep reinventing it, is because we want to hear that good story, but we can't just keep seeing the same thing 100 times again, because probably wouldn't come. But now that we know that there's a giant mallet and a bag with a dollar sign on it and all kinds of goofiness going on, we're ready to engage.
That's why, like, the new Fast and Furious movies are taking place in outer space.
They are. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, well, they've got like 10 of them now, so they need to up the ante.
And Isaac, you hinted to us about your role, but let's dive into what it is that was sound producer. No, what's the...
Yeah, so technically, I have a lot of titles in the show because... Okay.
I see, we're into titles.
Yeah.
that's a line from the show.
Because during the show, there's communication and like the character of the technical director is a character that's referenced to throughout the show.
Oh, so it's a little meta there.
Yeah.
Some fourth wall breaking.
Okay.
So technically that is my role. And I technically did do the things that a technical director would do for the show. So you could say that I am the technical director.
Okay.
But yeah, I helped Noah with some set ideas and
sound design.
Mostly my role has been sound design and finding fun songs to have and lots of sound effects.
How do you track down sound effects? That's an interesting question. Do you have to record them yourself, or is there like an audio file app that you can go to?
I've been able, through my search, have been able to find some free resources online. Some things, like, we should have gone to a bowling alley and, like, recorded bowling alley sound effects ourselves, because that would have been fun. But yeah, a lot of things I found online. And then I've been able to, like, mess with some effects and reverb and different fun, like, panning and stuff to kind of make it an immersive experience, which has been
fun. During the production, I'd be curious about this, because it's... there are cues, right, for you to know when, but sometimes, you know, the audience will laugh a little bit longer, or someone will sort of slow a line down, so the timing might be just slightly different. So how do you manage that with is it a board, the soundboard that you're using?
Yeah.
Tell us the technical stuff.
Some sound effects I'm doing live, which is really helpful because then, like, if there's, like, a bonk, if someone gets hit on the head, I'm just, like, on the side of the stage with, like, a mallet and a tube and just go bonk.
timing it right.
Yeah. But I'd say for, like, a show, I kind of got on pretty early in the process for, like, we're going to rehearsals and accompanying with sound effects. And so the cast has been kind of doing a lot of the runs with sound effects early on.
Is it like the music to the show in some way? Are you, how does that you know, play into knowing, like, expectations of what's coming next?
Yeah.
And how you're figuring out the beats in between and such?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, there's a lot of, like, music during, like, undertones of scenes that kind of bring the mood, and some things are during transitions so that it's not boring. But, like, finding the happy medium between, like, volume and figuring out what's too much of a sound effect, what's just right, what makes it funny when there's a sound effect, when's a good time to have a rim shot for a joke.
Right, we don't want to overdo it. We want a rim shot, though. We want a rim shot
somewhere. Yeah, that's a really interesting part of the show, is putting that, and that's probably not in the book. That
no, well, honestly, right, that was one of the things I wanted to be very conscious of, and Isaac has been great about that, because he'll just write any ridiculous thing that I request. I'm like, I like that sound effect. I don't like it. Stop it. Do it again. So he's been really great and really flexible. But I've been harder because sound design is super important. And again, with the technological literacy, like, I'm not going to give anything away, but the sound mixing that he's been able to do and the things that we've been able to have created for the show are truly amazing. So, yeah, the sound design is something that's been going really well, and I'm enjoying the amount of ambiance that it's giving to us for specific scenes. So,
yeah, you've got a lot going on in this show.
Yeah.
And I would imagine, you mentioned that there was sort of the Monty Python-esque and the,
yes.
What was the other?
Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks.
A little bit. Yep.
So that's physical comedy sometimes.
There's so much physical comedy.
So is that something that any of you have experienced before? And how did you, you know, figure, because I find that, like, amazingly more difficult than just, you know, a straight drama.
Just turn it over to these two.
The Merry Men are, they do so much physical comedy. It is. We have a lot of that we do. I haven't really done it before too much, but it's like I kind of do it on when I'm not acting a little bit, just because that's kind of the kind, like, we find it fun, me and my friends, to, like, be a little silly sometimes. and so we have, like, a good enough, like, friendship where we're able to have that kind of humor. And able to perform that. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting. I get used as a table a few times, you know.
Mm.
get to be trees at one point. It's very fun. There's a lot of running around and a lot of opportunities for the bonk sound.
As you get bonked on the head, that's pretty fun.
There's a lot of bonk.
Yeah, and there's that whole, you know, when you're learning and playing and trying to put it together, that can be challenging because things can go wrong and mm-hmm. you don't want anybody hurt, but you actually need to practice and you have to keep everybody safe and building that trust. You mentioned that
trust is very important to have, and, like, we've been friends for, like, quite some time, so we have that trust built up. And so we're really open to, like, experiment how, like, to make a joke work, and we're very open with that with each other.
Yeah, I feel like the whole thing about, like, being safe and, like, all, like, doing physical comedy and communicating, communication in a show, and, like, trying to figure out how to do the physical comedy is super important.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in Northfield and the different shows I've been a part of, pretty much all of my roles I've done a lot of physical and stuff.
I think I remember that about some of the things that you've done.
Yeah. And what's fun is, like, when I got the opportunity to play Harry Wormwood, Noah came and helped me choreograph a thing, and we have pictures of little Isaac and little
yes.
Noah.
For those of you who don't know, Harry Wormwood is the dad from Matilda, the musical Matilda.
Oh, that was another show,
the,
right?
The Danny
that
DeVito
had a
character,
whole
yes.
A lot
yes.
of physical action in
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's another aspect. And you want to make it funny, but you want to make it the same every time.
Yep.
And there's a funny fine line there.
It's like yeah. runs on clockwork, like on Broadway, and like if there's crazy things. I was able to go up and see the play That Goes Wrong in Faribault when they did it.
Oh my gosh!
A couple
yeah.
weeks ago.
Oh, amazing. I heard about that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But
joke.
Just like, like so many crazy things happen, but I was able to see it twice, and like it's just the same every single night.
And so that takes a lot of work to come together. Yeah.
Well, they're really talented improvisers. So early on, I'm really encouraging them to be like, okay, yeah, you know, see what makes this work. So you are on stage with your friends, experiment with how to make this joke funny. But when they do find that, when they lock into that, I have to be like, okay, like freeze, pause, save that, because you're right. When something works, when something's funny, you want to lock it in, because that repetition is super important. Once you have something that works and that is funny, you really gotta kind of lock it in place. So they've been really good about that.
Yeah, what have been some of the challenges with we talked about the physicality, but there must have been other things in any production. There's always, you know, those either odd things about the way the stage is set up or props or yeah. trying to, you know, just music, movement, all those
yeah.
things.
I mean, the space is shared by a lot of people, so that can occasionally make things difficult. And the students, they're working. You know, they got full-time jobs, things like that. They have appointments to be at, and they're all extremely valid and necessary. So just flexibility, working with everyone's schedules has been something that we all have to be conscious of, but it's something that we've handled pretty well, and they've been really great about communicating. And I know that how much students can have on their plate sometimes, and it can be overlooked by you know, their superiors or their teachers, their, you know, mentors, whatever, occasionally. So I want to voice my appreciation for how much work and dedication and effort these students have put into this performance, because it's really something special.
Yeah. And it's, as we mentioned, the somewhat true, not almost, not partially, but somewhat. I love that word. I don't know why that really
right.
just
yeah.
kind
it's
of
a nice. Yeah. Yep.
It's a good catchy one. True Tale of Robin Hood at Arcadia Charter School. That's happening next week, Thursday, the 4th, 5th, and 6th. So it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Star Wars Day.
May the 4th, yes. And 7:30 is the time of the show. You can come directly to the show to get your tickets. Reasonable prices, $3 mm-hmm. for students, $7 for adults, $5 for seniors, and no advance tickets necessary. If you're interested in learning more about Arcadia, it's arcadiacharterschool.org. If you want to get some more information about the school, it's an incredible place, and I always love having these conversations. And is there anything we missed about the show that you want to tell people about the characters, what they can expect?
Let's do what's one thing that you've appreciated from someone else's performance? Should we close on that, maybe? Is that
sure?
Yeah,
that's fine. Yeah. Or some yeah. So that's something you mentioned to me, that you have asked people to as a part of your group process to notice. And I think that's a really wonderful thing, to be able to see what others, like, see the work that they're doing.
Yeah. I think it helps them all improve as actors to, you know, be able to work as a group and appreciate each other's strengths as performers.
So give us some insight into the production by doing that, telling us a little bit about what you appreciate about the show.
Our Prince John is hilarious. Noah early on kind of had his mindset on who he wanted to have, which is Ezra Warren, who is done YPT and different stuff.
Yep.
But just like the character acting, and just like he has a voice, and like the physical comedy, and just so funny. So if at all, that's definitely something that you should take away.
It's something worth going to see. It sounds
yeah.
like that's worth the price of the ticket. How about for you?
Yeah. We have one character who's like kind of a narrator. He's just kind of there. He's the town's guy. He's played by Isaac Hunter, not the guy here.
and they are just, like, so good, and they bring such a funny essence to a character that isn't especially written funny. Like, it's kind of funny, but, like, they have just made that character so funny and good and brought so much to it, and it's so good.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'd say I love the performance of both the prince and the sheriff. They are just, they have such a great dynamic between the two of them, because they're like an evil duo, and they work together so well, and it's just, it's so perfect, and I love that I get to, like, watch those scenes. I love that I get to experience them as, like, in an audience perspective during rehearsals. It's amazing.
And that is something that I think is really fun too, to be able to see what other people do with the characters and to, you know, bring them to life. And how have you helped them to shape that? How much input have the students had in being able to create that? And so when you're doing that, I'm thinking about, there is the way it's written.
Yep.
And so again, we're back to that idea of story variations, right?
Yeah.
And what keeps it essential and what you can take away and add.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we wanted to be very conscious of was it's a funny script, but we didn't want to pile too many jokes in on top of that. So one of the things, and again, it was nice having an idea of what their comedic styles were, because I could, you know, pick what I would be interested in and having them perform. But I'm sorry, I totally lost my train of thought.
We're talking about just how they created their characters.
Oh, but yes, but I think the thing that served the script best was having them approach it genuinely. Because the lines are humorous, they are written that way, but the really funny moments, I think, come from the bits of human interaction, like the awkward silences, the glances, the things like that. So the script is written in a very funny way, but you need talented performers to make that comedy work. If you just read them out of it, you know, out of a book, it's not going to play, but you need that subtlety that they're all showing me. So at this point, I haven't been, I mean, I've given them specific little pointers, but I've tried not to be too overbearing in terms of character, because I want them to be able to find it within themselves, which sounds a little cheesy, but I think that's the best way to make that process work. And mm-hmm. they've shown me some really great stuff regarding that so far.
Well, I can't wait as an audience member to see how all of this is revealed and bring this to life. And I know, too, that theater is about, there's just so much that everybody can take away from the experience. And just every cast that I've talked to has, it feels like this is the most incredible experience each time they do something, yeah. Right? And so I'm wondering what you're thinking about what you're going to take away from this experience. Is there a new skill or knowledge or something about yourself or the community or the group that you learned that is going to carry you onward in whatever you might decide to do next, whether it be another production or just a job or a school? Let's start with Willow.
Yeah, I love being part of productions, either behind the scenes or on stage. I don't really, I might participate in some other productions later on in the year and next year as well. But after this show, I'll probably just focus on school and job for a bit until a production comes my way.
So you're learning juggling, right?
Oh, yeah.
How to figure out all of that, yeah. Which is such an important skill.
Yeah, it's a lot of things that I've got to do.
It's fabulous. That's a great thing. I think that's one of the benefits, right, of being a part and also trying to tell people why they should also participate in theater. Yeah. What have you learned?
I've never done a show that was really, like, straight comedy. Like, I've done, like, comedic shows before, but they were never, like, intended to be, like, exclusively comedy, and this is the first time I've done it, and I've, like, really enjoyed that, and I think I might want to seek that experience out more, because I like doing, like, just comedy and not other things intermingled, too.
So you learned something about, you know, what you were capable of, right?
Yeah.
And see, that I think that the theater is just so amazing for all those reasons. Isaac, you're are getting some great experience that you're going to take on to your college, but what else are you thinking about?
Yeah, I mean, this has been really fun to kind of try out what I'm thinking about doing in the future. And it's been super fun to kind of have some creative input into the show with I don't know, like different songs and sound effects and stuff. But yeah, it's just been a good experience, kind of like solo teching sound for a show.
Do you get to, this is an odd question, but I was thinking, how do you tell the school you're going to what I've done? Like sometimes, you know, if you're an actor, you can have headshots, or if, you know, you're an artist, you can have a portfolio. But what does a sound person do to say, this is what I was capable of?
Yeah. Well, for the school that I applied to and that I'm going to, you can put in like a portfolio of your work. So just like pictures, show names, what you did,
okay.
Maybe like playbills or programs for the shows. And then, of course, references. So throughout the years, I've worked with so many amazing people that have been kind enough to put in references and like letters of recommendation and stuff. So.
Well, it'll be exciting to see where you go from here, and I hope you'll come back and tell us about all those experiences, because I expect that there'll be wonderful stories that you'll be in making for all of you. And I'm so excited that you were here today, and so glad I got a chance to finally reconnect with you again and learn more about this great show, which is The Somewhat True Tale of Robin Hood at Arcadia Charter School. Folks, it's going to be a great show. I can already tell. Sometimes you get that vibe, right? That it's happening, and it's we all need a good laugh right now.
Yeah, it seemed like they were ready for a comedy. So.
Mm-hmm. So folks should put that on their calendar. This is Art Zaney, Radio for the Imagination. I want to thank my guests today, Noah Schomburg, Jack Wolf, Willow Joe, and Isaac Udelhoffen for being here, and all the rest of the cast and crew of the show at Arcadia, because I think it's going to be great, and I can't wait to see it. I hope that you all at home always find some time to add some Art Zaney to your life. And of course, in the meantime, until next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zaney, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zaney is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events, or call our box office at 507-332-7372.